Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to today's broadcast and this month's programming. I'm telling you, I am so excited about what we're going to be talking about this month. We're going to be talking about Jesus, the living Word. We're going to be talking about how we experience the life, the promises of the Word of God. But it's bigger than that. It's more than that. I'm telling you. You know, I was walking around the other day, and I was just praying, and really, it just began to bubble up inside of me about the Word of God. And of course, I've always valued the Word, always loved the Word. But I tell you, I want to take you to a place starting today where we're connecting to the Word of life in me. We're connecting to and interchanging, interacting with the Word of God in such a way that it literally becomes life to us right now. Listen, this program, as well as this entire series and all of my series, can be viewed for free at impactministries.com. We want to be a blessing to you. Jesus, the Living Word, is going to be an exciting, life-giving 6-CD series that I'm telling you, it will cause the Word to explode inside you. Just think about it. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the living Word of God. He's the perfect expression of everything that God has ever said. And if you want the Word to come alive to you, the written Word to come alive to you, it happens because Jesus, as the Word, comes alive to you. You want to be sure and get this series. You know, today we're talking about the Word of life to me, or the Word of life in me. You know, I remember when I first got saved, and I don't know what it was like for you, you know, but when I first got saved, I really had an acute awareness that I really didn't understand a lot of things about life. I didn't understand a lot of things about business. I grew up, a little redneck kid in Tennessee. Did construction work when I was young, became a musician. I was a runaway. I dropped out of school. So, you know, I really didn't have a whole lot going for me, if you really want to know the truth. And when I got saved, started reading the Bible, when I started reading the Bible, I wanted answers. I wanted to know God. I was looking for God. I wasn't paying any religious dues. I wasn't trying to get God satisfied with me. I wasn't trying to make God happy. I didn't even know enough about God to know any of that religious junk or get messed up in that religious junk. But I dove into the Word of God. Now, one of the things that was really interesting, it was a paradox. I know you probably faced this, where there was this hunger, and I would go to the Word of God, and I would read, and I would have some degree of satisfaction for this hunger that I had, but it was never really complete. I always still kind of felt something lacking. Now, I didn't feel anything lacking as far as me knowing Jesus or being saved. I didn't feel anything lacking in the sense that I needed to go out and try to earn my salvation. But I would read the Word, and it would really be alive to me on some levels, but I always felt like I was missing something. Maybe that's more thing. And I didn't want to miss anything. Man, I wanted to know God. I wanted to connect to God. And you know, one of the things that I began to see in the Word, I began to see these scriptures. Man, you go read the Psalm 119, and you talk about getting your heart stirred up about the Word of God. You know, this is where you read these scriptures, like in verse 161, where the psalmist says, "My heart stands in awe of your Word." That was interesting. Or you'd read these scriptures about how he loved, the Word of God. You'd read these scriptures about how he meditated on the Word of God. And you would look at all of these scriptures, you would think, man alive, that's how I want to be. Now, what I'm about to say is such an incredible paradox, because I valued the Word of God in that I was pursuing, I was looking at the Word of God, I was digging it, I was mining it out, I was trying to get to the truth of the Word of God, but at the same time, I knew that that wasn't really what the psalmist was talking about when he talked about how he stood in awe of God's word. When he talked about how that every word of God was pure, every word of God was perfect and tested and tried and proved. When he talked about all those things, he wasn't talking about those things from the perspective that I was going through. He wasn't somebody who was looking to find something in the word of God. He was someone who had already found something in the Word of God. And see, that's such a paradox. You know, it's an incredible thing that we know that life, that there's life in the Word of God. We know that. We know that truth and life and light, we know that these are all synonymous or overlapping, or actually we know that they're a continuum is what they really are. And so we know that there's a life in the Word, but interestingly, we can still approach the Word in such a way that it keeps us from finding the very life that we are so hungry to find. You know, I really hadn't planned to say this, and I may talk about this a little bit later, but you know, one of the things, this is one of the reasons as a new believer, I started fasting a lot. You know, I wasn't fasting to change God's mind. I wasn't fasting to do that. I just saw fasting in the Bible. I thought, I'm going to try this. If this will help me in my connection to God, I'm going to do it. Now, I know some people out there, some of you, based on your doctrine, man, you could be screaming, you don't have to do anything to connect to God. Well, you know what? Really, that's like saying you don't have to do anything to connect to your wife, you know. You know what? If your wife loves you and you love her, there's things that you do to express that connection. You're not trying to earn that connection. You're not trying to make it happen. You're trying to experience that connection. That's what I want to do. I want to experience everything that I had with God. And you know, one of the things that I've referred to so many times from the pulpit, so many times from this broadcast, so many times in our church services, is the fact that Jesus is life. You know, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, but the Bible says that to know him, to know God and Jesus, who is it, to know him is to know or to experience life. And so, that's what I wanted. I wanted to experience the life that had been legally given to me when I got born again. And so I would fast. So there was a lot of things I did not understand about fasting when I first began. But you know, one of the things I did understand was I understood my experience. I understood what I was experiencing. And at first I didn't understand all the reasons why. You know, today, a bunch of degrees later and thousands of hours of study and research and thousands of hours of prayer and seeking God, today I understand what's going on. Back then I didn't. But one of the things that happens in fasting is that as we begin to take our attention off of taking care of our flesh, our physical body, then what happens is we begin to put our attention inward. And when you fast, it shifts your attention from what's going on out here to what's going on in here. And now the first couple of days it doesn't, because when you first start, all you're thinking about is out here. You're thinking about, I'm hungry, I want something to eat. But you know what, after about that third day, man, I'm telling you, everything in you starts getting focused inwardly. And you know, I began to see very early in my walk with God that when I would read the word or pray when I was fasting, it was like liquid life. Man, I'm telling you what, it was like the words poured off of those pages directly into my mind and heart and soul. It was like I got baptized in the truth that I was reading. But what was interesting was that, you know, I would experience something beyond explanation. I would experience something that I couldn't even tell anybody about, because I didn't even have any words to explain what was changing inside of me. You know, there's an old Eastern saying that says, you know, the way or the truth that can be explained is not really the truth. It's not really the way. And you know, that's kind of the way things are with God. If you can really explain something, you just got a mental concept, because you can't really explain some of the incredible experiences that we have with God. And so early on, I started realizing that there was this connection with God through His Word, and you know, I began to love the Word of God. And I valued the Word of God. This is so interesting. I valued the Word of God before I loved the Word of God. I valued the Word in that I saw that it was important. I saw that there were answers in the Word of God. But remember, like I said, the psalmist, the way he talked about the Word of God wasn't because there was something in there that he hoped to find. And because of that, he held the Word of God as precious and valuable. But he was holding the Word of God precious and valuable because of what he had already found and how it had contributed to his life. Now, I want you to understand something. You know, we live in a day, and it amazes me, and people have always done this. They do it different ways. But, you know, intellectualism robs us so very much of the life of God, because we think that because we can intellectually explain a doctrine or intellectually explain a scripture, like, we think that that is as good as experiencing that scripture or experiencing that truth. And it absolutely is not. We think that just because technically God has given us something, that that's as good as experiencing it. Well, that's really not true. That's sort of like if you're starving and somebody gives you a steak, you know, having that steak doesn't do you any good. Eating that steak, chewing that steak, tasting that steak, digesting that steak, getting the nutrients from that steak, that's what makes you love it. It's not just the fact that you own it. It's not just the fact that you have it. And so, you know, I went on a journey, and it's been a 40-something year journey of connecting to the life of God in the Word. You know, one time, this was, you know, I hadn't been saved too very long. This was back when I used to, I always call it being a street preacher. Now, I don't mean I was one of these guys that stood on the street corner and screamed at everybody. As a street preacher, back in those days, it was a different world. People were out prowling the streets. There were coffee houses. There were what we call head shops. And so, you know, you go out and you kind of just prowl the streets and sometimes take a guitar and go out and play some music, and people would gather up and you'd share Jesus with people. Or you might go to a coffee house where, you know, where people would take time about getting up and singing a song or quoting a poem or saying whatever was on their mind. Or you might go to a house church somewhere, and there were a lot of house churches back in those days. Or you might, like I did many times, you might get out and start witnessing to people, and before long it breaks out into a meeting on the street. You do actually have a street meeting. So that's what I mean when I talk about being a street preacher. And so you know, I wasn't trying to pastor a church. Didn't want to pastor a church. Didn't feel like I need to pastor a church. Felt like there were great pastors out there. I just felt like I should do what God was leading me to do. But one day I was at work, and there was actually a pastor there that had been real critical of me. He, you know, my hair was down over my ears, you know, which was really pretty short for me because I cut it after I got saved. And, you know, I cut it from shoulder length to just kind of been over my ears. He was real, you know, critical of that. And he always made some snide remarks about me and, you know, being a hippie and all that kind of stuff. And so he lived off in this rural area not too far from here. And someone invited me to go attend a revival meeting. That's what they call them, you know, a revival meeting. And so in my heart, I had been feeling like I was supposed to go somewhere and minister that night. So I told the person, I said, you know, I can't really come. I said, I would love to. I said, but I'm going to be preaching somewhere tonight. And of course, I had no idea where I was going to be preaching, but it's in my heart, I knew. So I started throughout the day. I started writing down scriptures that I felt like God was speaking to my heart, and it was stirring me up. And two or three times during the day, you know, people asked me to do something that night. I said, well, you know, I can't. I'm gonna be speaking somewhere tonight. And so, you know, I get home and I still don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I'm just going to go out on the street somewhere or something's going to happen. I don't know. All I know is I got my sermon ready. And so I got home and I was taking a shower. I'm like, Lord, I don't even know where I'm supposed to go. So I don't know what to do next. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, go to where you were invited to that revival meeting. And I'm like, man, I've never even been to that little town. And I don't know if I can even find that place. But, you know, I obeyed, I hopped in my car, took off and found the place. And I won't go through the whole story, but the long and short of it is, when I got there, the meeting was in progress, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, go up and tell the pastor of the church that their evangelist is not going to show up and that I've sent you to minister the word tonight. Well, boy, I'm going to tell you something. That is not something you just do lightly. And I white-knuckled the bench in front of me. And finally, I went up there and just told him, I said, look, you don't know me from Adam's house cat, but I'm telling you, your guy is not going to show up tonight. God sent me here. I've got the word for tonight. I said, I've just done my part, and it's with you now. The truth is, I didn't even know if the evangelist was there or not. There were so many people sitting up on the platform. I thought, well, he's probably going to turn to me and say, well, you're a fool. You're of the devil because here's the evangelist. But anyhow, so I go sit down. In a little while, the guy calls me up and just says, I never thought I'd ever do this. He said, the first thing I was ever told when I started pastoring a church was never let anybody preach that you don't know. But he told the story of what happened. I got up and preached. And here's the scripture that I preached from. John 5:38 says this. Jesus was speaking. He says, he's talking about these people who don't have the word abiding in them. The word's not alive. It's not at home in them. But in verse 39 of John 5, he says this. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. And then there's another scripture where he talks about you err greatly, not knowing the power of God. Now, what's interesting is I ministered from this scripture about people searching the scriptures because they thought that they would find life in them, and they didn't find it. Well, the pastor that criticized me, that I told you about, he was there in that meeting tonight, and God so touched his heart that he ended up inviting me to go to his church and preach and minister. But the point is this. That night, I was challenging people about whether or not the Word of God was really life to them, or whether the Word of God was just something they preached, or whether the Word of God was just something that they read out of legalistic obedience, or what was the Word of God to them. And see, there was a paradox, and as I was ministering, God really spoke to me probably more than He spoke to them. Because you stop and think, we're all reading the Word of God, looking for the eternal. I mean, we know that Jesus is our eternal life. We know Jesus is our salvation. But we're still reading the scriptures because we're looking to experience that connection in a more meaningful way. Now, it's an interesting thing. Now, the New Testament wasn't written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. But this is a concept from the Hebrew language. And, since God chose the Hebrew language, I think it's kind of important that we understand some things about it. But in the Hebrew language, I am told by scholars that unless you really understand the concept first, you will not truly understand the words that are written in their sentences. So it's like I have to have this before I can really get what it really means. That's kind of what Jesus was saying to these people. He's saying, listen, he says, you're looking in the Word of God trying to find eternal life, but the real problem is you don't have the Word in you. Now, this is such an incredible paradox. This is sort of what happens to us. We know Jesus, we know His truth, we experience His truth, but we're looking in the Word of God. We want this connection to come alive. And we can't find in the Bible what is not already real to us in our own hearts. You see, looking in the Bible to find a truth and for that truth to come alive to you, it just never really quite works out. But when we go to the Word of God because we know what we have in Jesus, when we go to the Word of God because the truth is in us about who we are in Jesus, the truth is in us about what we have, then we go to the Word of God and we see and we find the life that is tucked away or hidden in these verses. Now, I know that this sounds kind of paradoxical, but you have to have something in your own heart before you can see it in the Scriptures. And so, if I want to look at the Scriptures and I want the Scriptures to be life to me, I've got to start with having life in my own heart. It's got to start with how I'm already seeing God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the crooked heart can't find good. And we've talked at length about this in all of our heart physics seminars and heart physics programs. If you have a twisted heart, if your heart is twisted about, particularly about how you see God and how you see yourself, those two things are so incredibly important, then when you look at the Word of God, you will read it and see it and understand it based on how you already see God. But if you see God as good, you see God as loving, you see God as faithful, you see God as promises being true, you see yourself as being created in His likeness and image, you see yourself as being righteous in Jesus, you see yourself as hid in Christ, then when you read the Word of God, then you can see all of the life that's in it. And that's where we want to get to. You know, when you got born again, the Spirit of God came inside you. When you got born again, actually, all of God's commandments, everything that God ever said, came into your heart, into the deepest recesses of your heart. And we take the written Word of God now, and we use that to renew our mind so that we get ourselves to where we are thinking in line with what God has already written on our heart. And so the problem is, though, if I don't listen to my heart, if I listen to my denomination, if I listen to my family, if I listen to everybody else, I will have a view of God that's really not real, that's really negative, and when I read the Word of God, it will not speak to me. There will be absolutely no life in it for me. Now, you know, interesting thing about the Word of God, and that is that every time we go to the Word of God, we can have a connection with God just like we would have with a close friend that we're in conversation with, or just like we'd have with our spouse, just like we'd have with somebody that we love, if that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the Word of God to give us what Jesus hadn't already given us. We're not looking for the Word of God to give us secret insights into doctrines that nobody else knows. We're looking to the Word of God because we're having a conversation, if you will, about this life that we have with God. We're having this interaction with God. You know, it's interesting, based on how you approach the Word of God, it will cause different parts of your brain to become active. Now, we know this. Studies have shown that one of the differences between Christians and I think all other religions in the world is the part of our brain that lights up when we pray, or the part of our brain that becomes active, is the part that lights up when we're having conversations with people that we love, when we're truly interacting with a person. Because, see, we're not just going through a ritual. We're not just quoting something. We're not just obeying rules. We are interacting personally and intimately with God. Therefore, our brain actually functions different and causes us to experience something that really other people can't experience. But it's the same way with the Word of God. When I go to the Word of God as intellectually, when I go to the Word because I'm studying, I'm trying to find doctrine, I'm trying to find all the formulas, the part of my brain that's going to become active will not let me see and interact with God on a personal level through His Word. But when I approach the Word, when it's already in with me, when it's already my intention, when I'm approaching the Word of God from this perspective, that this is a conversation, this is a dialogue. Everything in here is things that God would say to me about life and how to handle life, how to manage my life. And these are things that God would share with me. Then the way I see the Word changes. It's altered incredibly. Listen, I want to take you on a journey connecting to the Word of God in such a way that it is always life to you. I'll be right back with a mentoring moment. You know, I want to invite you to join me in some special meetings that we'll be having this year. In March 27th, 28th, 29th, I'm going to be in Edmonton, Canada with Doxa Ministries. You can go to our website and find out about it, or go to Doxa website and find out about it. Plus, be sure and remember that we will be having our World Changer Weekend in July, just like we always do. Those dates are on our website calendar, as well as October, we will be having heart physics, an advanced heart physics program. So begin to plan ahead, look at our calendar, and be sure that you've got our app downloaded onto your tablet or to your phone so that when we're having special events in your area, you'll know about it. And also so that you can receive the quotes, all the things that we pop out every single day. You know what? We want to bless you every single way that we can. We want to keep you encouraged. We want to keep you built up. So be sure and join me in a live event, but be sure also to get the app, keep up with everything that's going on. Do you want the Word to come alive to you? Do you want to read the Word and feel like Jesus is just leaping off the page and diving right into your heart? Do you want to feel like every time you look at the Word of God, you renew your connection to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, this incredible new 6-CD series on Jesus, the Living Word, is designed just to do that, to help the Word come alive to you, help Jesus in the Word come alive to you. You're going to want this. It's going to change your world. I know you're like me and you've heard thousands of people say that, you know, life would be easy if we just got an owner's manual or an operator's manual when we came. Well, we did get an owner's manual. We did get an operator's manual. But sadly, religion has made it so hard to understand. You know, the Bible is not that hard to figure out. Truth is not that hard to grasp unless you have been altered in such a way that the way you look at it affects your ability to see the simplicity of what it's saying. You know, you are the one that will have to make certain decisions for the Word to begin to become life to you. And one of the first things is going to be, and we touched on this already, is your approach. What are you looking for when you read the Word of God? Are you paying religious dues? Are you trying to find the deep secrets of God? Are you trying to find the formulas to get the things that you want? What is your doing? But here's the real truth. Only when something becomes relevant to real life does it become valuable to you. You know, studies have shown that one of the reasons many people don't enjoy attending church anymore is because in our time restricted lives that we live, we're all rushed, we're all working all the time, we've all got families, we've got all these pressures on us. We can't afford to give away our time for something that's not relevant, for something that doesn't contribute to the quality of our life. So that's the same way it is with the Word of God. We're not going to take the time to read the Word of God if we're just paying our religious dues. We have to approach the Word of God in a way that makes it relevant, where we are approaching this prayerfully. And every time we pick up our Bible, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you are the great teacher. I am opening my heart to you. And as I'm reading this Word, I want to connect with those things that are important to my life. I want to connect with the things that you're saying to me about my life, about how to have a better marriage, how to be a better father, how to be a better wife, how to be a better friend. I want this to be something that is important and practical in my real daily life. And what will amaze you is how many times you'll open up your Bible and you will get wisdom for today.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.